Hey, this is Stephen Bruce from Seymour Christian Church. I want to thank you for listening to the message today. As we open up the scriptures, I pray that God speaks to you and that the Holy Spirit will use it to help you on your journey to become more like Jesus. Thanks for listening. Well, have you ever bought something that didn't live up to its promise? Yeah. There's nothing more frustrating than a product that sounds amazing but doesn't actually work. I've got some here, or at least that didn't work as advertised. One of them in the 1970s was the Ford Pinto. How many of you guys remember this? Yeah? Okay. It was marketed as the perfect affordable car, except if you remember for the fact that it had a tendency to, as you'll see in this next picture here, burst into flames when it was rear-ended. It was not built properly. Or what about Olestra chips? Do you guys remember these? Came out a while ago. These miracle fat-free chips were marketed as a guilt-free snack. What they didn't advertise was their less than pleasant side effects. I don't know if any of you remember those. I'm not going to go into details, but it involved going to the restroom very often. Or what about one of my favorite vehicles, although I've never actually driven one, from the 1980s, the DeLorean. Right? This amazing car. On the outside, it looked amazing. Kind of like the modern-day Cybertrucks, right? It was a showstopper. It was made of stainless steel. It had those cool doors that opened up. It was pure 80s fashion. Hollywood made it look so iconic in Back to the Future, if you remember that. But in real life, the reviews of this car were horrible. It was slow. The engine didn't work right. And it was overpriced. It looked like it could fly, but it could barely make it out of the driveway sometimes. It wasn't built properly. And then to keep the Back to the Future theme alive, what about the hoverboard? Remember, every kid wanted one of these. The commercials promised fun and futuristic transportation, but the reality was that many of them, when they first came out, were ticking time bombs. You remember this? Some of them caught fire. There's videos you can see on YouTube. Some of them have some choice language because people are freaking out so much. But kids riding these, and one, there's actually a long account on the internet, on YouTube, of one family's house that burnt down because this thing exploded and burst into flames. See, what looked like the future, what looked like it was so great and so much fun, was a disaster because it wasn't built properly. Products like this look good on the surface, but when put to the test, they often fail. And isn't that a lot what life is like? Many of us build our lives on things that seem solid at first. Money, financial security, a good family, relationships. But when the storm of life comes, those foundations crumble. Have you ever bought something that didn't live up to its promise? See, as we're wrapping up this series this morning on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus' most famous teaching, we're asked with this question. He's leaving us with a question to consider as we end our time together, and that is, what is your life built on? What's your foundation? What is your life built on? Because if your foundation isn't right, it doesn't matter how good things look on the surface. You're meant for destruction. So as we've been doing, I want to encourage you to open up your Bibles. We are at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 7. I'm going to read for us here this morning this passage in its entirety, and then we'll break it down. Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 24. Jesus' words here. He says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house. And yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell. And its collapse was great." When Jesus had finished these words, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for these powerful words. As you are ending your sermon here on the Mount, Lord, we ask that our hearts would be open to hear the challenge that you have for us, the challenge to reflect and see what we're building our life on. So God, I pray that you would open our hearts to hear from you this morning, not my words, but your words to our heart. May you challenge us and convict us to be the people that are living not just above the surface, Lord, with our good works, but below the surface with a heart that's in tune to you. We ask all this in your name. Amen. Now, before diving into our today's passage, let's step back and reflect on what we've seen over these last 12 weeks. Over the past 12 weeks, we've walked through Jesus' revolutionary teaching that makes up Matthew chapter 5 through 7. If you remember, we started, he challenged us to be salt and light, to influence the world for living differently. He addressed our hearts, showing that our righteousness isn't about appearances, but the transformation that happens deep down within. We talked about lust and revenge and anger, prayer, fasting, the worries that we have, judgments that we might give to each other, all through the lens of living as disciples of Jesus. He showed us last week the narrow path. And now at the very end, Jesus ends with a story. It's a parable. A final picture to drive home his message. And it's a simple story about two builders, two houses, and two very different outcomes. Many of you are familiar with this passage. It's one of the most famous passages in the Bible. And if you grew up in church, you might have sung a song. I don't know how many of you remember that song, right? The wise man built his house upon the rock. Remember that? We're not going to sing the whole thing, but the rains came down, the floods came up. It's this great song that teaches us this parable. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. This is how he starts off. He says, therefore, remember if you guys have been with us a few weeks, every time Jesus says therefore, we're supposed to look back to see what it's therefore, yeah. And so we were presented last week with two paths, two trees, if you remember. Two paths, one that is narrow, one that is broad and easy. And two trees, one that bears fruit and one that doesn't. And today, as Jesus wraps it up, he says, okay, therefore, you've heard everything I've said, not just the last couple sentences, this whole Sermon on the Mount, everything I've been teaching you about being the kind of people that are living right, not just above the surface, but within our hearts. You've heard everything I've said, but if you don't act on it, he says, you've missed the point. Jesus chooses something that he was well versed in to illustrate, to make his final challenge. As we know, Jesus himself was a carpenter. So he says in verse 24, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and slammed against that house. And yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, and its collapse was great. Jesus tells us about two builders, two houses, and two foundations. The first one, the wise builder, the wise man. This is a person who hears Jesus' words, hears all of the teaching that he just has been trying to get us to understand, for it to sink deep within our hearts and put it into practice. He says, their house is built on the solid rock. But the foolish builder, this is a person who hears the same words, but doesn't put them into practice, doesn't act on them. They built their house on the sand. This word foolish is an interesting word in Greek. It's the word moros. Where you can see it's where we get our word moron. Well, that sounds a little harsh. Jesus calling us morons. But think about it. If we have heard all of the teachings of Jesus, we build our house, our life around these teachings. We want to act and do these right things, but we don't have the right foundation. We're morons. The foolish person is someone who spent the time building their life to look like a disciple of Jesus. Their house looks like a disciple of Jesus, but it's built on the wrong foundation. The foolish or the moron is someone who hears the gospel each week. Maybe you come to church every Sunday. Maybe you come to church every time the doors are open. But if it doesn't change the way you live, something is wrong. So there's two builders. There's also two different houses. Now, in Jewish culture, a house wasn't just a building. It was the center of life. Unlike today, when we move from house to house, we sell houses, we move around, we upgrade. The houses in the Jewish culture, they represented everything about you. Your life centered around that home, your identity, your priorities, your legacy. It was the heart of your life. And both these houses, from what we can tell, are similar. They were both built by skilled hands. It doesn't say that one was built terrible and the other one used great building materials, was put together great, and the other one was shoddy construction. They were both built by skilled hands. From the best we can tell, they were both built in exactly the same area. They both probably looked good. And both of them faced a storm. But as we saw at the beginning of our time here together, sometimes with certain products, looks can be deceiving. It doesn't matter how good or beautiful a house is if it's sitting on a bad foundation. And while both houses looked similar, the difference became obvious when the storm hit. See, the difference wasn't the house. It was the foundation on which it was built. So there are two houses, but there are also two foundations. The college that I went to in Michigan had this beautiful campus. It still has a beautiful campus on Lake North Centra. And at the top of Lake North Centra, they had this lake and then this beautiful cliff with all these amazing Michigan trees. And at the top of this big cliff or hill was a chapel. It was a chapel that we would meet in often and have worship. And there's this giant window that overlooks out into Lake North Centra. But something was starting to happen to this beautiful chapel on the top of Lake North Centra. And every few years, it began to slide down the cliff. I had heard rumors about this, but I didn't really think it was true. You obviously couldn't stand there and watch it and see it move. But my freshman year, I went and looked, and someone showed me. And at the end of where the chapel ended, the foundation was, you could see a gap where it had been pulling, falling down the cliff. 4 years later, when I left the school, that gap was much further. And eventually, years later, they had to reinforce it, rebuild it, because it was slowly falling down the cliff into Lake North Centra. Eventually, if you're built on a non-solid foundation, you will face destruction. See, Jesus has been sharing this Sermon on the Mount to help us see what what's going on below the surface. I don't know if you remember this picture. It's the last time we're going to show it to you for a while, but this picture of an iceberg. See, so many times in this sermon, Jesus has been challenging us not to be just concerned about the things above the line, the good deeds, the things that are visible, but we have to pay attention to what's going on below the surface, our foundation. We can't just be concerned with looking the part or doing the right thing, but being the right kind of person. And in this final story, Jesus masterfully drives this point home. If your foundation is wrong, it doesn't matter how good your house looks. He's been challenging us through this sermon to go beyond the surface level righteousness, to turn the other cheek, to love our enemies, to pray, to fast, to give without seeking attention, to seek first his kingdom. To look within our own hearts before we start judging those around us. And Jesus doesn't want us to just hear his words. He wants us to live them. James chapter 1, Jesus' brother shares these words. He says, but prove yourselves doers of the words of the word and not just hearers who deceive themselves. Be doers, not just hearers who deceive themselves. You remember last week we talked about the person who will stand before Jesus and say, but Lord, Lord, didn't we do all these great things? He says, depart from me, I never knew you. They had deceived themselves. Prove yourselves to be doers of the word and not just hearers who deceive themselves. We have in our, what we call the rec room, it's really our garage, some exercise equipment set up. And I spent some time setting that up, and our whole family is really into exercise and health, with the exception of me. We set up this room, and it's got an exercise bike and some weights and a TV so you can watch all the stuff, and it's a nice little mat to be on. And I've surrounded myself with this room that looks like someone who exercises, but I don't ever pick up the weights. And I don't ever get on the bike. It's pretty obvious, I know. And you can build the things around you that look good, but if you're not actually doing the thing, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're not doing the thing. Yoda put it this way. He says, do or do not. There is no try. If you remember that. So what are some of the sandy foundations that we build our lives on? Some of the things that each and every one of us, our house might look good, but the foundation that we're built on. Maybe it's the approval of others, seeking to be liked. We express that today so much on social media, don't we? With the things that we post. Pictures that make us look a certain way. Vacations so that people will see how great our lives are. But it's a sandy foundation. A sandy foundation is anything that maybe you say, this is what gives my life meaning or hope or security or satisfaction. And some of us, we put our sandy foundation in the approval of others. The way we dress, so people could see us and observe us in a certain way and put us in a certain light. Maybe it's a certain kind of car that you drive, or your vacations, or your finances. Not just greed, but trying to build security, wealth, a foundation. It's not a bad thing, but so many of us have put our security in our hope, our foundation in that, our retirement. Maybe it's your marriage or a relationship. Putting all our hopes into another person or the people around us. See, even the best people can't be a foundation for your life. They weren't designed to carry that weight. Maybe it's success. Maybe you're building your life on the sandy foundation of success, your job, believing that your worth is tied to your achievements. Maybe it's your kids. How many of us put our foundation in our kids? Which sounds at the surface like a great thing, but your kids and their accomplishments, their achievements, their activities, they're not meant to carry that weight either. What are the sandy foundations that you build your life on? See, these things aren't inherently bad. Of course, there are bad foundations you can build your life on. But even these good things, they can't hold up when the storms of life hit. They shift, they crumble, and they fall. And Jesus has spent this entire Sermon on the Mount showing us that our foundation, what happens below the surface, that matters. These sandy foundations, they sound a lot like what the Apostle Paul tells us is wisdom in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. It says, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. Throughout the entire Sermon on the Mount, Jesus has been contrasting a godly life with what the people had heard. Remember, he started so many of those phrases we looked at in the first couple weeks. You have heard it said. Those weren't the foundations, those good deeds or those things to avoid. The foundation was the heart behind what was happening. And Jesus is saying, obey my words, be hearers of the word. God wants us to be secure in building our life on a different foundation. So why would one builder choose to build their life on the sand? Because it's easy and it's convenient. I mean, sand is everywhere, right? It's cheap and it's accessible. Building on the rock, though, takes effort. It requires digging and laying a strong, deep foundation. But in the end, the only way to be secure, to be stable, is to have a solid foundation. Verse 24 again, therefore everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Now this word rock in the Greek is the word Petra. And not too far from where Jesus spoke these words, where he preached a sermon, there was the city of Petra. You might have seen this before, probably in your history classes. This city that was built in and on the rock. If you've seen Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, you've seen this, right? Petra, is your life built on the solid rock? Are you building your house in on the rock? But in verse 26, everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. There's an interesting thing about this word sand. It's the Greek word amas. It's where we get the word the city of Ammon. In the city of Ammon in Jordan, if you're familiar with this at all, it's incredibly sandy. There's a picture of it here. It's an area that's built on sand. There are foundations there now and buildings, but the whole thing is sand. It's not stable. Jesus is saying, don't build your house on the sand. Build it on the rock. Now, what happens when sand gets wet? It often gets harder, right? And a lot of the sand, even in the Jordan, it's not like beach sand. In Ammon, it's hard sand, and so it's deceptive because it looks like it's a solid foundation. But it's deceptive because it's just as shifty as regular sand. During the hot summer months, the sand around the Sea of Galilee, where Jesus is talking about here, it was hard on the surface. It wasn't beach sand like when we go to the beautiful beaches in Hawaii or something and have that. This was hard, packed down sand. But a wise builder wouldn't just step on it and say, okay, this seems solid. A wise builder knew he needed to dig several feet deep below the surface in order to establish a foundation of the house. But it's easier. It's easier to just dig through the easy dirt. It's foolish, though. You're a moron, Jesus says. If you're not building your life on the solid foundation, it's easier to build on the shallow foundation of the sand, just like it's easier, as he showed us last week, to go on the broad, easy road. But both of them lead to destruction. See, any foundation other than Jesus can be taken out by the storm. And Jesus makes it clear. There are two builders, two houses, two foundations, but they face the same storm. The storm hits both houses. See, following Jesus doesn't exempt us from life's challenges. John 16:33, Jesus says, in this life, you will face trials. He doesn't say, you might. We will all face storms. We'll all face financial struggles. All of us will face health crises. All of us will have relationships that break down, accidents that happened, internal battles that go on within us with anxiety and depression or addiction. See, the question isn't if the storm will come, it's what will happen when. See, building your house on the solid foundation doesn't mean you won't face storms, but it means you will survive. Building your life, your house on the solid foundation doesn't mean you won't face storms, but it means you'll survive. When the storms come, where do you run? What foundation do you rely on? This is easy for me to see in my own life when I'm struggling, or I use sometimes a phrase, when I'm squeezed, what comes out? Is it anxiety? Do I turn to the foundation of my life of food or television? What is it for you? What's your addiction that when the storms of life hit, reveals your foundation? Is it anger? What are the things that you're building your life on? Is it a hobby? For a whole generation, it's video games. What are you building your life on? Is your foundation rock or sand? Are you relying on money to give you security? Approval to give you your worth? Achievement to give you your identity? Or your good deeds to get you into heaven? Jesus says all those things above the surface line, above the water line, they're not bad things, they're good things. But you have to pay attention to what's going on at the foundation. Don't just be hearers of what I'm saying, he says, be doers of it. Not just doing the good things, but doing the full totality of what it means to be his disciple. To do the work within your heart that needs to happen, to lay your foundation on Jesus, to obey his commandments. Jesus ends this section here. In verse 28, we're given some narrative. It says, when Jesus had finished these words, the crowd were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. See, as Jesus finishes the Sermon on the Mount, the people, they're amazed. Why? Because he's such an amazing teacher? Yes, he was an amazing teacher. But there was something different about not only what Jesus said, but the way he said it, because he speaks with authority. Jesus isn't like the scribes or the Pharisees, the religious leaders they had heard. Remember, Jesus said, you've heard it said, but I tell you. And he ends as he says, anyone who hears these words of mine, my authority. Jesus isn't like the other teachers that people had heard. He isn't like me, who just repeat what others have said. I'm repeating what Jesus has said. Jesus isn't repeating other people's teaching. He's teaching from his own authority. He speaks as the Son of God, our living hope, the one who embodies the truth that he teaches. He's not just giving advice. He's inviting us to trust him with our lives. These were his words. So as we close, I want to leave you with this challenge that Jesus lays before us at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. What are you building your life on? Are you listening to Jesus' words and acting on them? Or are you going through the motions, building something that looks good on the outside but lacks depth, that lacks a sure foundation? Whether you're 15, 50, anywhere in between, or much, much older, it's not too late to start over. Jesus invites us to tear down what's unusable and rebuild on the solid rock of his word. In a moment, we're going to stand and sing a song together. And as we sing, I want this song to be our prayer. We're going to commit to building our lives on Jesus, the solid rock, to not just be hearers of the word, but doers as well. And if you're ready to build your life on the solid, firm foundation of Jesus Christ, you can do that today. To our right, we have our prayer room. There's going to be some folks that are in there. They would love to meet with you, help you take that next step. Or maybe you're like me, and you've made that decision to follow Jesus, but so much of your life, you keep trying to build it on shaky foundation. If you need prayer, if you need help with what might look like for you to remove that sandy foundation and get back to building your life on the solid rock, we would love to help you, to pray for you and with you. You can just make your way to that room while we sing. But as we sing, I want this song to be our prayer. Let's commit to building our lives on Jesus, the solid rock. Let's stand together. Imagine standing on a beach. You can feel the sand beneath your feet, but the tide is coming in. And as you feel the sand beneath your feet, as you know, when the water starts to come, it begins to shift. But nearby, there's a rock, unmovable, secure. If a storm is coming your way, where are you going to stand? On the shaky sand or the solid rock? Jesus offers us a foundation that will last. Will you trust him with that? Will you obey his words? Let's be people who are building not just beautiful houses for people around us, for each other, for us to look at, but let's build solid foundation, build beautiful houses on the solid foundation of the rock of his word. Let's build wisely. And when the storms come, and they will, the foundation will hold. It will not fail. It will not fall, because we're built on the solid rock of Jesus. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your words, which is our solid foundation. God, help us to not only hear what you have told us, but to obey, to put it into action. When the storms of life come, Lord, remind us who you are and that our refuge and strength is not built or is not determined by the quality of our home, but the foundation on which it's built upon. And may we live as people who reflect your kingdom and trust in your authority. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church together said, amen. Amen.